Father God, thank you. We do say hallelujah. We want to say it with our words. We want to say it with our hearts. We want to say it with our minds. We want to say it with our lives. And God, I thank you for this day. And I just pray that we would continue to know what it means to be a part of this family, of your family, and then to go and share with others. Lord, that you would really allow us to seek the lost, to love the hurting, and to disciple other believers to do the same. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Good morning, buddy. How are you doing? Good. What an honor to be here with Mission Fest. Can we give the missionaries another round of applause? And just so honored. Make sure you put your stickers on. I put one on. I'm going to Peru. We're doing a Life Fest in April in Peru and in Lima. I would love you to come along. Come with us. We're going to be doing schools. Just pumped. But what an honor to be here as part of Mission Fest. And I'm just humbled and honored to be an evangelist that is sent out from this church to be a missionary to the youth of our nation and our world. So thank you for being a part of that as well. And that's what we want to do. And what we want to talk about today, what they asked me to talk about is this. The topic is, what is the gospel and why does it matter? That's what I want you to walk out of here today. Hey, Dale, instead of, I don't need, did Bob do a good job or didn't he do a good job? What I hope is that every one of us will know what the gospel is and why it matters. What I'd like to do is start by telling you a story about when we had our first granddaughter. Karen and I got the call. She had been born, and we went up to the hospital. And I don't know if you're, how many of you grandparents here? All right, and the parents, right? Just the joy. We went up and we met for the first time Annabelle Reese, this beautiful, beautiful baby little girl. But to see your own daughter, to see our baby girl have a girl, just this double joy. And I'm holding this little beautiful baby and the emotion and the joy and the, it's just unreal and just so many emotions at one time. And yes, I'm Bob, there was tears and I'm so excited. This is the best thing ever. But I forgot to tell you, my daughter had a 24-hour labor, right? I'm sorry, women. All right, 24 hours. And so she looks at me and she said, Daddy, I am really tired and I really need a nap. Is it okay if you don't tell anybody about this till tonight? I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is the best news ever. I've got to tell somebody. Plus, I'm an evangelist. That's what I do. But I got to tell you why she warned me. Because, see, this was her first granddaughter, but we already had a grandson from our second daughter, Danielle. And when Isaac was born, I put it on Facebook before her in-laws knew about it. Oops. So I'm like, this time I got to do a little better. So Amber, if you're here, I promise I did not tell anybody for the whole day that lived around here. I did call a board member, Steve Jones from Oregon, and a friend in California. He said, you can't tell anybody, but guess what? I got to tell somebody. I really did. But do you know the same thing happened in the Bible? The same thing happened in the Bible. Look at me. Look with me at this Bible verse in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It starts. While Jesus was still speaking, some of the people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, because he had went to get Jesus because his daughter was sick. But they said to him, your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? But overhearing what they said, Jesus looked at Jairus and he said, don't be afraid. Just believe. And then they went to his house and he heard the people crying. But after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with them. They went to where the child was. They took her, the dead girl, by the hand and said to her, little girl, I say to you, get up. And he immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. No duh. She was dead and now she's alive. But look at what Jesus says. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And then he said to them, give her something to eat. Are you kidding me? I gotta tell, like, what did Jerry, put yourself in his shoes. When you read the Bible, put yourself in their shoes. What was he thinking? Jesus, I don't know if you know this or not, but the funeral already started. Didn't you hear the people crying? Didn't you see the flowers? What are we gonna do with all the bars and desserts? Jesus, people are bringing ham sandwiches. No, not really. It was a Jewish funeral. Whoops. Okay. But they're bringing all these food. Like, how do you not tell somebody? You're like, this is the best news ever. I gotta tell somebody. There's other places in scriptures. Look at this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. This man has leprosy. The man has leprosy. He has... his body is rotting. His piece is falling off of him. When he walks down the street, he has to say, unclean, unclean. He has to wear a bell. He's ostracized. He's separated. They put him in their own little camps. He's an outcast. And Jesus went to the outcast and held him and touched him and loved him and made him new. And for the first time in his life, he was whole. And then you know what Jesus tells him? Don't tell anybody. And he had to be thinking, ready? Are you kidding me? I have to tell somebody. Look at the next one. Mark chapter 7, verse 33. There's a man who is deaf. Jesus heals this man. And he can hear. And somebody says, can you hear me now? And he goes, yeah. Oops, sorry, can't tell you. Like, really? Like, what is he supposed to do? How does he pretend? Because he says, are you? Say it with me. Are you? I have to. I have to tell someone. Look at Mark 9. Two guys are blind, right? Jesus heals them. And they see, can you imagine seeing for the first time colors in the sky and trees and people? And Jesus says to them, don't tell anybody. I'm sorry. Are you? I have to. But don't you think otherwise they're going, don't you think they're going to notice? Think they're going to notice. Why? Because it was the best news ever. Can I tell you what the gospel means? That was my instruction for today. I want you to know what the word gospel means. Here's what it means. Gospel means good news. Will you say that with me? Gospel means good news. You know what that good news is? It started with this. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Because of that, listen, I am loved. I am forgiven. I am known. I am made new. I have hope. I have life here. It matters. And I'm going to have eternal life forever. Are you kidding me? I've got to tell somebody. We're not here to guilt you into sharing your faith. We're here saying, how can you keep it inside? How can you keep it inside? It's the best news ever. But here's what we have to ask. Why does it matter if we do? You know why it matters? It's the very thing you were created for. You were created for a relationship with God. And it's the very thing they've been created for. And then once you know Jesus, you were made to share it with others. That's how we were designed. That's what it's for. But Dave, I think the climate has changed. Because now they say there's two things you're not supposed to talk about. Religion and... But let me tell you, could there be any two more important things in the world? Now, we know it's not religion. We know it's a relationship with Jesus, right? But that is who's going to run your life and who's going to run our country. Now, we have to find a way to talk about it with those who disagree with us. Talk about it from people who are different worldviews. Now, this is a really weak analogy, but I want to compare it to this. Have you ever eaten a meal and you ate a lot, but you still weren't satisfied? Anybody else? Like, no more potatoes or beef or nothing. The only thing that could satisfy is dessert. And in this time of year, I think that would be like pumpkin pie. Like the only thing. No, I know it's a weak analogy because this is just like dessert. But spiritually, let me ask you, has anything satisfied? Has money, things, relationships outside of God? Nothing satisfies. There is a void. There is an emptiness in this life. In our hearts, if we're honest, that the only thing that can fill it is Jesus. And once you find it, you want to share it with somebody else. But how do you do it to somebody who's never tasted before? How do you do it to somebody who's blind and you can't show them and they can't taste it? I want to do this to this morning to explain with pie. It's my son David here. David, could you come here? David is the youth director of Narrow Path, the senior high. And for first service, we had Ryan Johnson, the youth director for AMP, for junior high. Could you give my son a round of applause as he comes? Thanks, buddy. Hey, man. So what I want to do, I know it may not be your favorite pie, but you like pumpkin pie. Okay, all right, cool. So what I want you to do, now you are the person who's never had it before, and so you're blind, so you have to close your eyes and trust me, okay?
I don't.
Just kidding. Well, you do it anyways. Okay. I should have picked somebody else. So just close your eyes, and I want to try to explain this to you, the smell. I know you can smell. Look at the size of that nose. Keep your eyes closed. Okay. Usually some nutmeg and the smell, but I know you like it's whipped cream. And I just want you to know that you've never tasted this and you can't see it. But I know it's the only thing that can satisfy you. So I just want to tell you I love you. So there. Sorry, Kurt. that wasn't supposed to get you. Got some napkins or something? I'm sorry. Could you give David a round of applause? Here, dude, have a pie. No. Thanks. Well, let me tell you this. I am in trouble. You're like, what did you just do? Dick Robertson, one of our missionaries from Peru, used to be pastor at Elmbrook. He goes, I've been a pastor over 30 years. Never have I seen somebody throw a pie in somebody's face. And you're like, why did I do that? Well, first of all, I picked the youth ministry guys because they're the only ones that would put up with it. They did not knew that was going to happen beforehand. And I know where some of you are laughing. Some of you are like, did you just do that? But here's the thing. The best news in the world, and we want somebody to have it, but you know what? None of us would be thankful if we took that pie and threw it in somebody's face. Nobody would say, oh, give me more. Show me more. I want more of this. And I think sometimes we wanted people to have it so bad, and we know that we're right and they're wrong. We can see and they're blind. Let me ask you, if you've ever had somebody throw the spiritual pie in your face, and especially in the early years, did you ever throw a pie in somebody's face? But the climate has changed to a point where maybe instead of doing it the wrong way, you know what we heard from the surveys? No, Christians are afraid to share about the gospel. And the non-church, the non-believers don't want to hear about it. And instead of, are you kidding me? I got to tell somebody, it's the best news ever. Instead, you know what it is now? Are you kidding me? You did that in the name of Jesus? Are you kidding me? Why would I want this? Are you kidding me? How can I do this? Let's look at a scripture that I hopefully can explain this a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. It says this. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So many times when people reject and they will, we can't control somebody, but I wonder if we should rewrite it and it should say this. Or have I now become your enemy by how I've told you the truth? I gave him the gospel, I gave him the pie, but not in the same manner what it was. We have done outreaches all our life as a church. We went to the Hall of Fame week in Canton, Ohio. And there was this, we went and did clowns for the kids and shared our hotline and just relayed and build relationships. That's what Bill has been talking about. But there's one group, and they were in a back of a pickup, and they were waving their Bibles and handing out these tracts that said, "It's not Hall of Fame, it's a Hall of Shame." And they were just condemning the people, throwing the pie in their face. I went up, I said, "Look, they're rejecting. They're rejecting." They said, "No, they're rejecting the gospel." I said, "They're not rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting how you've presented it." And something is gone. Here's what's happened. We have tainted the gospel. We have tainted the gospel to the point that people don't even know what the gospel is anymore. Proof of this? 64% of Americans believe you can be good enough to earn heaven. They don't know what the story is. We got the story wrong. And it's too important to get wrong. Amen? It's too important to get wrong. Proof of this. We went on our first mission trip to Mexico when we only had four kids. We took three of them along. Went to Mexico, and my wife, I love my wife, and she, if you don't know Carol, she's a servant. She sacrifices so much for the kingdom and for our family. And she was not worried about the food. She wasn't worried about the culture. She wasn't even worried about the bugs. There's just one thing my wife doesn't like, and that's being cold. So honestly, you know all that she was worried about? A cold shower. And so we went, and the first place we stayed, they didn't even have running water, but the second host home we went to, they were a little more middle class, which means that they had some form of concrete in their home, and they had running water. So through our interpreter, we thought it was, you know, culturally acceptable to ask if they had running hot water. And so we asked through this guy, he was our interpreter, and he said, "I have 4 years of Spanish in high school, and I'm in Spanish in college." And so we asked through him if they had hot water, and the answer came back through our interpreter, "No, no hot water." Now, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but my wife's like, "Are you kidding me? The other way?" And so she was the first one up, and she took that shower, and she froze. And I'm so proud of her for enduring her worst for the gospel. But then we're sitting in the living room, and somebody else went in to take a shower, and we saw steam coming out of the bathroom. We're like, "What is that?" And the guy said, "Hot water." The guy got it wrong. He misinterpreted. There was hot water. Somehow we've done that same thing to the gospel. We're getting it wrong. And this is too important to mess up. We've asked people, even from our own church and many, many evangelical churches across the country, "Tell me, if you were telling a student what the gospel is, what would you tell them?" And people say things like, "Well, yeah, believe in God and be a good person and go to church and follow his rules." Now, that may be all part of discipleship, but we're getting it wrong. That's not the gospel. I want for you today, before you leave here, to know what the gospel is. Why? It's too important to get wrong. We've got to know this. If you look at a tool we gave you in your bulletin, grab this. It says the story. We can't get this story wrong. And on the back, it has four parts of this story, four parts of every story. But here's where it is. Just look at the back. It says this. How did it all begin? How did the story start? What went wrong? Who is the villain? And is there any hope? Is there a hero that's going to come in and save the day? And then what will the future hold? Our goal as a church is that you would know, love, believe, and be able to share the gospel clearly. And so what I want to do is, you know how much I work with the planning team to get every minute I can when I preach. And I'm like, "Come on, just give me a few more minutes. Let's cut one song." But I believe that this video is important enough so that we know, see, and understand the gospel. Would you watch this video? It's called The Story, because it does matter.
There is only one story that answers life's most essential questions and gives a lasting sense of purpose and meaning. It's the story that inspires all other stories. It's the true story that defines every one of us. This is that story. How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God. He spoke everything into being. With a word, galaxies appeared with stars and planets. Earth was designed for life to flourish. Everything God made was gloriously good and breathtakingly perfect. The highlight of God's creation was the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God entrusted everything he created to his beloved children, giving just one rule. They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God. Considering our world today, it's obvious perfect peace didn't last. Turmoil, war, sickness, troubles. We each have our share. What went wrong? It started when a fallen angel named Satan grew jealous of God and determined to ruin the perfection of creation. Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against his one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled, ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable, with no way to fix it, leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted him to send a Savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming Savior's birth, life, and death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescuer. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as his mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in his 30s, he began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom and performing many miracles. After a few years, he was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits at God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make his story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
How many are thankful for that story? Amen. That is the story. That is the story. Take this booklet one more time, and this time I want you to actually open it up with me, this story. Let's go through. There's just four parts of this story, but I want you to know them so it becomes a part of us so we can share it with others. Number one, creation. Creation. That there is an author, that it's not by chance, and that this God created us for relationship with him, for one another, to live in shalom, harmony, peace. But then there was the fall. Turn the page. There was the fall. And there was disobedience. We had an enemy called Satan. And now all of us have sinned. And what? The wages of sin is death. And we're separated from God in this earth and for the life to come. But God has a rescue for us. He has made a promise and he keeps his promises. And so from the foundation of the world, he came and he sent his son, born of a virgin, who did miracles, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, thinking of you, and rose again. And then how's it going to end? The restoration for anyone who turns to Christ and believes, just like they did. Remember Christmas Eve, even if you were here, when people walked across that bridge, more than religion, a relationship with Jesus. And they said, I trust this, I turn away, and I receive Christ. And that gives us life for this earth that nothing else can satisfy, and then forever. That's what Christ did. That's what it is. That's what I want. And we want you to know this inside and out. We want the story to be part of your story, and your story to be about his story. And what a believer is that somebody who has personalized this and said, you are my only rescue. You're my only hope. I don't know why, but I feel like even right now, if you've never done that, can we just pause? Just take a moment of silence. And just, if you've never said, God, I get it. I get the story. I can't find perfect life here without you. I can't find that eternal life without you. And God, I can't find the forgiveness for when I'm not perfect. That's you. The Bible says right now, just call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That this story grips you. And if you're a believer, then you know what that means? This story has gripped you. You know how you know if this story is your story? I think two ways. Number one, you have a testimony. You know what that is? Your story of coming to Jesus. Now, I think testimonies have kind of whipped up into like a frenzy. Like I went to Teen Challenge Bible Institute. And so I think everybody wanted, that's a drug rehab. And I think everybody wanted to outdo somebody else's testimony. So they're like, I did this in the past and I did this. And this lady got up and it was the most powerful testimony I've ever heard. She got up and she said, I've been rescued, that word. I've been saved from a life of prostitution. She said, I was saved from a life of trafficking. I was saved from a life of gangs and street fights. I was saved from addiction. And I was saved from the horror of an abortion. And I was saved from a life in prison. And I'm sitting there going, this is so amazing, God's power. And then you know what she said? I was saved at the age of 4 when my daddy tucked me in and prayed with me. And I'm like, some of you don't feel like you have a testimony. If you know Jesus, guess what? You have a story. That's how you do it. You have a testimony. The second way you know that this story is your story, it's when you start caring about somebody else's story. Instead of going, let's talk about me, let's talk about I, let's talk about number one. Instead of that, you start talking about others. You start caring about others. The mission of this church becomes our mission. And what is that? Again, together, we're a family. We're a part of a bigger story. Together, we do what? We seek the lost. We care about their story, that they know him. Then what do? We love the hurting. And then we disciple other believers to do the same. That's what we do. And if you're, that's what Bill's been talking about. Remember when Bill was talking about who is your neighbor? Remember that Kate did that illustration with the houses around you, and then you did it for family and friends? I think it looks something like this. Do you remember that for the last insert, the last 2 weeks? And you fill that out, so I'm like, you know what? I know he's my brother, but I still listen to him when he preaches. And so I did this. I who are my neighbors? And then I took his challenge, the dare, to discover where somebody else is at, to adjust to their story, and then relate to them, and then finally to extend that good news. And so let me tell you about one of my neighbors. And we'll walk through this discover together. His name was Jeff. It still is. Jeff is a biker. He drives a Harley. He wears leather. He's bald with some earrings. Just my kind of guy. Just an awesome guy. He lives in the big town of Tustin. He works in foundry, so he uses special language. I'm not always for sure what it means. Okay, I know what it means. And I know that he likes to party and have a good time. And so we live in Tustin. We have some things in common. So that I discovered that about him. I start to adjust more. How? We build a relationship. And I found out that the girl that he's with, I thought was his wife, is his girlfriend. He's gone through a divorce. He has one son that only gets on weekends. And so I'm like, okay, start to now adjust our relationship. And then to relate to him. What do we have in common? We live in Tustin. I like to party. I like to have a good time. We both cut wood and heat our houses with wood. So I told him he could borrow my splitter. He said I could borrow his trailer if I needed it. We start building a relationship. Well, then one time he came over and Life Fest sign was in my yard. And he goes, Life Fest, isn't that a Christian thing? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you been there? I'm like, yeah, we kind of work with it a little bit. And so he goes, oh, you into that stuff? Yeah. So it breaks down. So now we related. We were friends. He thought I was okay. I fooled him. And now we have a relationship. So then when we got time again, I said, hey, I know what we did. I had a car for sale. And he goes, man, I've been looking for it was a Nissan. He said, I've been looking for a cheap car because when it gets too cold to ride my motorcycle, I don't want to use my truck yet because it costs too much. So I gave him a good deal on this car, and I said, hey, by the way, you saw that I'm into this Christianity thing. I'm a praying person. Is there anything I can pray for you? So instead of pushing in his face, I invited anything, your story. And he goes, yeah, pray for my son. He's having a hard time in middle school, and I want to be a better dad. I only get him on the weekends, and could you pray for that? Man, you got it. And so we're always looking, if you go down here, we're always looking for ways to connect. How do we connect their story? And how do you do that? Bill said to listen, to connect our story, to be able to be honest and real with where we're at, and then connect it, find ways to connect it to the story. And I always use it, what can I pray for you for? That's what we did. Well, a couple weeks later, I'm cutting the grass, and I see Jeff go by, and he sees me, and I wave to him, and he goes down to the driveway and past us and turns around and comes back and pulls in my driveway. So I get off the lawnmower, and he drives in my driveway, and he doesn't get up, but he puts his window down. So I go, and I just kneel next to him and talk through the window. Hey, man, you know, give him a handshake, and he goes, hey, do you got any of those prayers left? I'm like, why, what's up? He goes, dude, I haven't smoked marijuana since college. But a couple of my buddies came a couple weeks ago, and they start passing around. I said no a few times, and I took it. And they've never had a drug test at work. And they had a random drug test, and, dude, I'm suspended, and I might lose my job. He goes, I need a second chance. Would you pray? I'm like, you bet. And I got to share with them. I said, I can't promise you your job, but I can promise you a second chance. And I can promise you something that nobody can take away. And I can promise you eternal life. And I don't want to push this on you, but this is what matters the most to me. And right there in my driveway, through the window in his car, I held his hand and led him to Jesus Christ. I told him the story, and he received Christ. We can do this. Church, we can do this. The leadership said that we're about here on our reaching out, that we started as an outreach, but now we just kind of got turned in. We can do this, church. We can turn it up. And that's what we want to do. We want to do this so bad. We want to give you a mission so that people know what the gospel is and that you can have it and that we can go out and do this with others. Go back to that handout I got. Look at it one more time. We got this for you. We got this booklet for you. It's a value so everybody could have one. Over $3,750 so that everybody could have one. So please look at this, read this, study it. I want you to know this inside and out so you can share it with others. But we have a cool thing because the first part of our mission statement is together. Look on the back, okay? And you can go and watch this story. But what we really want you to do is to download this app. And if you do it at joingroup.org, CTRCC, Christ Rock Community Church, and we can do it as a family and download it, and then you can share it with others. You can share it with others, and we're asking you, parents, you have kids, would you share this before you go to bed tonight? Will you watch? You can watch this. Wait. Some of you might be as old as me or older, and you're like, you don't know how to download. Talk to your grandkids. You can do this, okay? Or talk to your kids. And we actually have a sheet out on our table to give you directions, or you can call the church and talk to the Reach Department. They'll walk you through this. But let's download this. And then if you're a student, or even if you have parents that are still alive, I'm sorry, I don't. That's why I phrase it that way. Would you show them and say, hey, can I show you what we're doing at our church? We're sharing this story. Can I share it with you? Then you can email this, and you can. It'll come up, and it'll show all the places we're sharing the gospel. But would you know it to the point where you can invite them and say, is there something I can pray for you for? We can do this together as parents at work with our friends to share this. Why? Because what does the gospel mean? What does the gospel mean? And why does it matter? It's because it's what we've been designed for. I gotta tell somebody. Now, if it works better, if you're rebellious like me, I can tell you not to share this. And then hopefully you say, are you kidding me? I've gotta share this. This is the best news ever. Please, for the sake of their life, for the sake of their eternal life, for the sake of the only thing that can fill. Please, from Alaska to Peru to the First Nations to overseas, to wherever God's called us. And what you do matters. You're a part of this story because this message today, they asked me to preach about what is the gospel, why does it matter? But you know what? That's a part of Mission Fest. And Mission Fest is a part of a series we're doing called The Best News Ever, which is a part of a two-year initiative called In, a two-year initiative to say, let's be generous, let's be all in, which is a part of Christ the Rock Church, which is 35 years old. Because God got a hold of my brother through Billy Graham, who's an evangelist, who's an evangelical, which is a movement that's about 150 years old, which is a part of the Reformation that is 500 years old this year, which if you go back 2,000 years, the first time the good news was shared and somebody said, he is risen indeed. And somebody said, who? And they said, Jesus. Well, Jesus who? Jesus from Nazareth. Well, let me tell you about him. His mother was Mary. She was a virgin. She came from a long lineage all the way back to Adam and Eve. Creation. Fall. Rescue. Restoration. That's the story. That's the good news, church. We can do this. Father God, please, for the sake of you and your glory, may we know the story. May we live the story. May we share the story because it's the best news ever. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.